Hi there. Have you ever wondered why English has so many phrases that just don't make sense? Imagine calling someone a chicken or accusing them of crying crocodile tears. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Well, today we are back in the wonderful world of English idioms, specifically those involving animals. And also many of these idioms are not just found in English, but are in French too. That's French, F-R-E-N-C-H, the language of France. The same idiom in these two languages may not be exactly the same, but they're very close. For each one, I'll give you an explanation and also some examples so that you can remember the English version. If you're a French speaker, you're allowed to smile at my French pronunciation. And if you're not, and you're not learning French, just focus on the English. Here goes. Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. There's an expression in French, être une poule mouillée, which means literally to be a wet chicken. Wet, or mouillée in French, just means covered in water, damp. And a chicken, C-H-I-C-K-E-N, is a hen, a bird that we eat, and whose eggs we eat too. So this expression, être une poule mouillée, this idiom in French or English is used to describe someone who gets frightened very easily, someone who's not very courageous. Imagine children daring each other to climb a tall tree, saying, "What's the matter? Are you a chicken?" So in English, we don't say a wet chicken, but we do use chicken to describe someone who has a lack of courage. Children might mock each other. "Are you a chicken?" if one of them is afraid to perform some stunt or other. And we might say it of ourselves, "Oh, I'm going to chicken out," meaning I'm not going to do what the others are doing, I'm too scared. That's a verb, to chicken out, meaning to avoid doing the scary thing. Another thing we say in English that's related, "I'm too chicken," meaning I don't have the courage, it's too scary. "I'm too chicken to go parachute jumping." That is certainly true for me. Am I chickening out of doing a parachute jump? Too right. What about the expression in French, des larmes du crocodile? And in English, we would say crocodile tears. So a crocodile, C-R-O-C-O-D-I-L-E. Well, these are terrifying animals. Rather like a lizard, but actually 17 feet long or over 5 metres. Ah, wouldn't want to meet one of those. They swim in rivers and they hide, waiting to eat you. And they've got lots of teeth. Not my favourite animal, the crocodile. And des larmes du crocodile, or in English, crocodile tears. So a tear, T-E-A-R, this is the liquid which might come out of a person's eyes when they cry, when they're sad. But the tears of a crocodile are not real. They're not about sadness. So if you say that someone is crying crocodile tears, it means that you don't think that they really feel sad, and the tears are more there for the effect on other people. It's manipulative, in other words. That's crocodile tears. And is it really true? Do crocodiles cry tears? Well, apparently this has been put to the test, and they do. But crocodiles cry while eating their prey, P-R-E-Y. That means other animals for their lunch, if you like. So crocodiles cry not because they're sad, it's just something that happens when they eat. Their eyes froth and bubble, apparently. And scientists really don't know why. So crocodiles aren't feeling emotional and they're not trying to trick us. It's just what happens when they eat. But When we say it of a human being, they're crying crocodile tears, we're suggesting they're being manipulative, not truly upset. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget that there are hundreds more podcasts on our website. You can buy podcasts 50 at a time to download to your phone or tablet. They're yours then to use as often as you like. Imagine how much your English will improve if you listen to 50 podcasts. All there waiting for you at adeptenglish.com. Another French expression, faire l'autruche, literally to do an ostrich. Une autruche or an ostrich, O-S-T-R-I-C-H, is a bird, a very big bird and one that doesn't fly. In English, we might say someone is being an ostrich, but really the related expression would be to bury your head in the sand. What's the connection? Well, those big birds, ostriches or des autruches, they have a habit of putting their heads in the sand. It used to be thought that ostriches buried their heads in the sand because they were frightened and they just didn't want to look. And this is the way we use it in English and French. If someone says you're being an ostrich, just like faire l'autruche, they mean that you're not really confronting the problem. You're trying to ignore a problem in the hope that it will go away. You're closing your eyes, pretending your problem isn't there. And we also might say of someone, oh, he's just burying his head in the sand. He's going to have to face it sooner or later. So to bury your head in the sand is a reference to this ostrich behaviour. And it means exactly the same as you're being an ostrich. In actual fact, it's been discovered that ostriches don't bury their heads in the sand because they're scared and don't want to look. Unlike chickens, ostriches don't have a lot to be scared of. They stand around 9 feet or 2.74 meters tall, can kick very strongly to defend themselves, and if all else fails, they can run at 30 miles an hour for 10 miles if necessary. In metric, that's 48 kilometers per hour. So fear isn't really the motivation of ostriches when burying their heads in the sand. What do they have to fear with statistics like that? What ostriches are actually doing, it turns out, is looking after their eggs. When an ostrich lays eggs, she makes a very large hole in the sand. Ostrich eggs are big. And then the ostrich covers the eggs with sand. So when an ostrich buries her head in the sand, really, she's checking on her eggs or turning them over. But the expression still stands, to bury your head in the sand or to be an ostrich, something we use quite a lot. What about this one? In French, avoir une mémoire du poisson rouge, and pretty much the same idiom in English, to have a memory like a goldfish. So a goldfish or a poisson rouge. Interesting that it's red in French and gold in English. You see, goldfish, G-O-L-D-F-I-S-H, in fish bowls, kept as pets. What do we mean to have a memory like a goldfish? Well, it's based on the idea that goldfish have particularly bad memories. They don't remember anything from more than 3 seconds ago, in other words. I've heard that joke that the goldfish in a fishbowl swimming around doesn't remember long enough to know it's swimming in a fishbowl. But this is rather like the ostrich. It's not actually true that goldfish have bad memories. It's what you call a myth, M-Y-T-H, but one that exists all over the world. In fact, there are many scientific studies which show that goldfish have quite good memories and are actually a lot cleverer than we give them credit for. But again, the expression, the idiom, still sticks. Please remind me when I need to go out this afternoon, I've got a memory like a goldfish. The opposite, again, which is used all over the world, including in French, avoir une mémoire d'éléphant, or in English, to have a memory like an elephant. Another phrase elephants never forget. So we might say, oh, she's got a memory like an elephant, meaning she's got a good memory. But sometimes I wish she wouldn't remember quite so well. Another idiom that's both in French and English, le mouton noir, or in English, the black sheep. Black, B-L-A-C-K, is a colour you probably know. And un mouton, or a sheep in English, S-H-E-E-P, means the animal that we get wool from. Sheep live on hillsides. They are farmed for their wool. So what do we mean if we say someone is a black sheep, un mouton noir, or more often, the black sheep of the family? Well, most sheep aren't black. It's something more unusual. So the black sheep sticks out, is very obvious in the flock. Flock, F-L-O-C-K, just means a group of sheep. So that's a collective noun. And what do we mean by the black sheep or the black sheep of the family? It's that that person is different, doesn't fit in, even maybe a bit mysterious. They keep themselves to themselves. It's often used in a negative way. It's not necessarily positive to be a black sheep. This phrase, this idiom, may have come about because the wool from black sheep was less easy to sell. It couldn't be dyed different colours, like white sheep wool. My uncle is a bit of a black sheep. He lives abroad and we don't see him very much. Another one, in French, monter sur ses grands chevaux. In English, to get on your high horse. Un cheval, in French or in English, a horse, H-O-R-S-E, that's the animal we ride. They go clippity-clop. And to get on your high horse means to react critically to someone, as though you are better than them. I think a good adjective here is indignant. If someone gets on their high horse, it means they're seeing themselves as right, but also superior in judging the situation. Indignant, I-N-D-I-G-N-A-N-T. The person on the high horse is criticising others from a superior position. The origins are fairly obvious. You can imagine in history, the people with the land and the money would be literally on their high horse, showing their superiority when they spoke to the ordinary people. So that's monter sur ses grands chevaux, or to get on your high horse. Last one for today, animal idioms that are the same in French as English. Quand le chat est parti, les souris dansent. It's not exactly the same, but almost. In English, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So in French, the mice dance. In English, they play. Tradition has it, and I think it's true if you go off my cat Vladimir, mice are scared of cats and are very wary. Very frightened when the cat is around because they're likely to be eaten. But if the cat's away, well, the point of the expression, it means that when the person in charge or the person who is boss is absent, people take advantage. They do things they wouldn't normally do. They get away with more, shall we say. If the big boss at work is absent, then maybe the staff get up to all kinds of things they wouldn't if the boss was there. Quand le chat est parti, les souris dansent. Or when the cat's away, the mice will play. Hope you've enjoyed my bit of French. Even if you've no intention of learning French, I've kept it to a minimum. Listen to this podcast a number of times so that you can learn the phrases and remember them. There's nothing like repeat listening to help you learn new words and idioms. Let us know whether there are idioms which are the same in your language as they are in English. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.